Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. New from author Clem Masloff, Mining the Mineral Mountains. A writer visits the country of Landia, investigating his family roots, but he becomes involved in a bitter national miners' strike. He's drawn to a minority group that's been persecuted, slaughtered, and expelled 50 years before. After meeting with the leader and founder of the miners' union, he flees into the mountains with him, discovering that they are relatives. Together, they work on a solution to the miners' and Landia's problems. Clem has been involved with science fiction and speculative literature since he taught himself to read in 1941 and 42. He served in the Army as a linguist and translator in four Balkan Slavic languages. For several decades, he taught sociology in Ohio after graduate research in Russian social history. Since retiring, he's returned to his dreams of the early 1940s, writing science fiction. Mining the Mineral Mountains, his fifth novel, author Clem Masloff joining us on This Week in America. Clem, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed the story in Mining the Mineral Mountains, which we'll talk about on the program today, but I'm fascinated by, let's go back to 1941 and 1942 when you taught yourself to read. Talk about that experience because it really turned your life around. You've been reading and writing ever since.
That's true. What happened was I had always begged people, my parents and others, to read the comics, to read the funny papers and all the other things. And so I said, I'm going to teach myself. Well, letter by letter, I finally got people to tell me what each letter means. And finally I got so I could read the newspapers or Dick Tracy comics. I could read Superman, Captain Marvel, Plastic Man. And I became a reader then. So when I went to school finally, I didn't need that much. I could do a lot of the deciphering on my own.
So it really opened up a whole new world for you that young, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, at that time. And that was when World War II, we were just starting to go into that. So that was an interesting thing, interesting time to be in. And at that time, everybody was looking to the future. What will the future hold? Oh, we had marvelous dreams of what the future would be like when we got older and when the world no longer was at war.
With us on This Week in America, Clem Masloff, author of the book Mining the Mineral Mountains. That's novel number 5 we're talking about on today's program. A little background. I mentioned that you had an interest at an early age in science fiction, speculative literature. When did that actually begin and why? It's a great world that you create in your books. Is that where this all began back in your early years?
Yes, I would read things like Dr. Doolittle, famous series who spoke to the animals and this and that. I remember in the library, the librarians always said, you must stay in this children's section. You can't go in the adult section. And I had to more or less come back with the books and tell them what I read. Otherwise, they wouldn't allow me to have more adult books at that time as I was growing older. And then I got H.G. Wells and Asimov and Ray Bradbury. And little by little, I got involved in it. And I read more and more. And as time went on, I got to know it. But it was always fascinating to me because there were always new things, always unexpected things in these books.
And that's
one of the things about science fiction. You don't always know predictably what you're going to read, what you're going to experience in it.
What about that's as a reader, and I'm reading and I'm wondering where you're going with certain things. As a writer, you take us to those certain things. How is that as a writer with the background of being a fan of science fiction? And the pressure, I'm assuming that puts on you as a writer to come up something that will be entertaining for people like yourself that enjoy reading this. How difficult is it to create this science fiction world?
It's a little hard because there's so much it has been written, so much is available. You know, libraries full of it. It was not that respectable back then, but now it's actually a part of American literature and of world literature, and it's respected. And people are winning big prizes with science fiction and with all kinds of speculative works. And it's popular, but you're always looking for something original, something that has been untried. It's always an experimental field. You start writing something, you have no idea how it's going to turn out. And a lot of times, you just have to start something out, something new, something else, and go on into that field. You don't have to be a scientist, though. That's for one thing. You don't have to be an expert in the science. So you just, you use inventions that are we're still waiting for, that haven't arrived yet, but you could still talk about them as if they did exist. That's the big thing. Science fiction, you always ask yourself, what if? What if this was here? What if that was there here in the future? What if? What if? And so that's the thing that can amaze, that can make you wonder about things, make you think. And science fiction always helps people to think.
Well, yeah, and from a creative standpoint, this has to, you, as I mentioned, you create your own world out there. This has to be fun, exciting, and sort of euphoria for a writer because you get to actually create this world.
That's true. And you're able to I get a lot of my ideas when I'm asleep, when I'm dreaming. And all of a sudden, you can put this in the middle of a reality and produce something that's even more real than what you see every day. I think more and more our literature is getting like art. Art has photography now, so we don't have to be that realistic. And likewise, with all the modern things we have, TV and cable and computers, we don't have to have exact reality in what our literature is, so we can be very imaginative there, produce new realities.
You're listening to... Well, yeah, and you do an excellent job. Yeah, you do an excellent job of that in your books. Clem Masloff, our guest on the program, that's Masloff. The book we're talking about is Mining the Mineral Mountains. This is his newest. It's available at bookventure.com in the bookstore. It's available, of course, at Amazon. You can link on directly to the Book Venture site by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about that story now. I love the story. Where did this story idea come from?
I think it was because at the 1990s, the Cold War stopped, came to an end, and we thought, oh, the world will now be utopian, but it didn't turn out that way, and because all of a sudden you had this surprising ethnic battles, tribal battles, national battles all over the world, from Rwanda to Bosnia, now there is in Burma, over in Myanmar, there's a big fight going on there. And things like that happen. And this is how it happens that the news and events, current events, things that are happening in the world, reflections of them come into science fiction. And you see that again and again and again. You know, like the old TV series like Star Trek or like the Twilight Zone, there were always things that were reflections of the world as it was happening back in the 50s, back in the 60s. But in a way, we could imagine where it could end up or how it might develop. And we could deal with it that way easier than looking at things that are problems today, on the news, around what's happening here in Washington, around the world.
Exactly.
We see it more often as a distance through the mirror of science fiction. It's like a mirror, I think.
The book is called Mining the Mineral Mountains. I mentioned the premise. The main character is a reporter who goes to Landia. Talk about the main character and how you develop him. You do an excellent job of making these characters come to life. As you're reading the book, it's very relatable with the characters. We really feel we get to know them.
Yeah, I start to think of a writer. Even a journalist is someone who could be a character that is looking not only for a new country, but going there looking for things about himself, about his what he is. I was influenced by Ursula Le Guin. She just died this year, a famous science fiction writer. And she said one reason she wrote was to find out who she was and what she was. And often science fiction writers, readers, are reading to find out who they are and what they are. And I thought this would be a good type of character, going back to a country where he thought his ancestors came from and trying to find out if he had any relatives, trying to find out if there any type of history when his people were expelled from that country years before. And so I try to weave together two conflicts, the conflict of the miners, mining is the main industry of the country, and what their conflict is, and also the fact that there's this skeleton in the closet. There's this ghost-like thing in the background of all these people. Some were killed, some were expelled. All of them had everything confiscated, and trying to find things, and he finds their connections to this miners' strike. that it's not forgotten even after half a century in this country. And the people are trying to get some type of stability, but they can't get over this guilt dream from the past, what they did to this group. And so I try to put this together, and I find the founder of the union, of the miners' union, has a background in this persecuted group, and later on the hero finds this as well. One thing I always try to find, I try to find out surprises, and I try to locate some surprises in the ancestry, both of the writer that's going back to the country and the mine leader that's there. And I try to put in the last chapter or even the last page sometimes a real surprising shock, something that will do this. And I don't want to say this ahead of time, and I don't want to put this, you know, when I'm talking about the book, because I want the readers to find it. But I think surprises are important, and I find science fiction is the place where you can have literary surprises. We can have things happen. I compare it to life. Like, I've had a lot of surprises over the last 80 years, and I think most of us have.
Yes.
And this is the thing that sort of teaches people. You can expect there to be certain surprises. All of us back there were born in the 30s were surprised by the computer. Nobody foresaw it. Nobody could, you know, predict that computers would be so common nowadays. I remember back in the 60s, I would tell people, oh, someday every house will have a computer. They would tell me, what will we do with it? How would we ever use it? Would we take up half the house? It would be very expensive. But look what the world is today. The kids have them. So,
yeah, you can stick it in your pocket now. Yeah, back then, you'd almost have to build a separate room in the house because these things were like the size of a refrigerator, maybe even bigger than that. And now we've got them that we can actually put them in our pocket and walk away with them. It's interesting you mentioned surprises because more than once I went back and read a page a couple of times to make sure I just caught that surprise in there that I wasn't looking for. It's like, wow, where did that come from? Which keeps the story flowing. And as he goes back to this land, there's danger and intrigue involved there as well. This is sort of a treacherous journey for him.
I know. What I try to use, what the Germans often do in their literature, they call the main thing of a novel is the education and the training and this changing of the main character, how they change, what they learn, not only about where they are, the environment, what they learn about themselves, and how they adjust to that new knowledge. And that's part of growing up. One of the most important parts of science fiction nowadays is what they call YA, young adults.
Yes.
Books for young adults. And that's, I think, one reason science fiction is so popular in high schools, in colleges, in those areas, because they're growing up. And they're learning more and more about themselves as they go through experience. And that's what the basic character of the science fiction novel does, has experience, say, out in space or here in the future, and how they're affected and how they're changed by that experience and what they learn about themselves.
It's interesting because you create this world, and I mentioned there was some intrigue there because as he goes back, he's not necessarily welcome with open arms. He's got a guide, Vetta Vermilion, that is sort of like caught in the middle. She's got the government saying, watch out for him, and then she has a relationship with him. She understands him, and she's sort of caught in the middle there. You've got a clandestine service, a Department of Information. This is really an interesting world that you've set up there, and it creates a lot of hurdles along the way for the main characters, doesn't it?
Yeah. I was very much influenced by what happened in Bosnia back in the 1990s. Here, where I live, we have many of the refugees from Bosnia now doing well, very well in this country. But they still think of what happened to them back in Bosnia, and some of them go back and try to find out what actually happened to them individually through all the torture, all the things that happened, all the crisis they went through there. So there's a big connection sometimes where it looks like fantastic science fiction and what we read in the news and what happens in our own life.
I want to talk about the writing process, not just for Mining the Mineral Mountains, but the writing process for all of your books. And I know you're working on some new books, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But the process, do you start with an outline? Do you pretty well know where you're going when you start, or is there some flexibility there?
Well, I have to be very flexible because it's like life. I don't know where I'm going to end up in the future. And in a book, the character, the main characters especially, don't know exactly what their future is going to be. And so I try to keep it more lifelike by just having a problem or a basic conflict or a question in mind, like this author that goes back to the country from which his parents came, but a question in mind. And I try to show how the character finds answers that are unexpected. And that's the way, reading the book, they find, they expected certain things. You try to break the mold of what previous science fiction has been, if it's possible. And that's where you get your originality. One thing I don't want to do is write the same book over and over and over again. And so I try to get something new in every book I work with. I try to do that. You can't do it all the time. You know, you can't be a different writer completely.
Yes.
You have to do something a little different each time.
And
take
I would...
chances. And science fiction is like a leap, I think. Somebody's leaping into a new environment, a new way. What Asimov said years ago, he said that the beginnings of science fiction were back in ancient times when writers wrote about geography, going around here, going around there, and going to fantastically amazing countries. Sometimes existed, something didn't. Read the ancient writers, though, they went to Egypt, and it was something nobody expected there. They went up to what is now Russia, into Eurasia, something they didn't, tribes they never expected. So in a way, it's like a travel book you're writing, where they're going to this place that they are going to beat with things that are unexpected, unforeseeable, and unforeseen. And you hope the reader gets that idea, too, that there's something here that I know it's ahead of me in the book, but I don't know exactly what it's going to be. That's why I'm surprised often by the end of the book, I say to myself, I didn't expect this ending. I didn't expect this character to do this.
Yes.
But if you draw in this, I find this sometimes, I get so tired. How is this going to end? How is this problem going to be solved? What's the answer? I just have to go to bed, and somehow it comes out in a dream. In the morning or whatever I get up here in the night, I get down and I have the answer because it comes about.
I was going to say, you can't plan ahead too far because you never know what you're going to dream that night that will change the entire course of Landia and the expedition that they're on there. A couple of minutes left in the program. What are you working on now?
Right now, you have to do some research. I'm doing a lot of research on the sea and how this, the ocean, which is like an entire galaxy that hasn't been explored, the ocean. And I see a lot of this on cable television. They get a lot of that from the Blue Planet and everything else.
Oh, yes.
But I'm trying to see what modern psychiatry or future psychiatry might be able to do by taking people that have mental problems and sending them down on submersibles into the bottom of the ocean. It's pretty fantastic. It's a pretty wild idea. But why not send them down there, let them see things going on, like, bioluminescent marine animals and fish and whatnot, to the very bottom. Of course, this would be a fantastic place, not the Atlantic or Pacific, but a place where they would see animals and see things at the bottom of the sea, electrified things that might change them and give them a new insight on themselves and help to solve some of their personal problems. I don't know if that's possible. One thing I have written about is a psychiatric unit out in space that goes from planet to planet, from star system to star system, and eventually finds that people are different in different parts of the galaxy, and how different psychiatrists from different areas of the galaxy can't agree, and how they go into conflict, and how they battle with each other, and try to control the psychiatric unit. It's a little bit like, one of those movies about what goes on in the nut houses.
Exactly.
All kinds of ideas can come up. You just try them out and see. Some of them don't work, but some of them do, and some are successful.
And some do work out, and they become successful books for our guest on the program, Clem Maslov. I get the impression your mind is pretty active. You are sort of getting ideas all the time from what you're reading, what you're watching on television. They're all sort of fodder for new stories.
Oh, yeah. over the years, you know, by going to the library a lot, you learn a lot of that.
Yes.
You pick it up from life itself, and you just be able to use it. So I have a good memory, at least in that sense, and I can go back and look at things. I write one thing. I had one thing I put together looking back in the 1940s and what we predicted about the future and how most of it went down, could not be used. And today we're in the 21st century. We're not producing most of our food in the ocean. We're producing it on land. And we're not having cars that go right up in the air all the time whenever we want to get around some traffic thing. And we're not having plastic that much in everything as it was predicted back in the 40s. All kinds of things like that.
Well, this is an excellent read.
So you never know where you're going to end up, but you try things out. The wilder they are, the better sometimes. What you try to do, you try to make the incredible credible.
Exactly.
Try to make things that are unbelievable, believable, if it's possible.
Well, and a good writer is able to do that, and you do that in your works. This is the fifth novel. We're talking about Mining the Mineral Mountains. The author is our guest, Clem Masloff, M-A-S-L-O-F-F. You'll find the book and information available at bookventure.com/bookstore. You'll find it, of course, at Amazon. At Amazon, you'll find all of the other books that Clem has written as well. So there's great information on the author and all of the books that Clem has written at Amazon. And you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Link on directly to get information on Clem's book, Mining the Mineral Mountains. Clem, this has been fun. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Keep up those dreams because they're entertaining for you and entertaining for us as readers as well. So good luck with the coming project. Hopefully we can talk about it. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was fun and the time went by way too quickly. Clem Masloff, our guest. The book is Mining the Mineral Mountains. You're listening to This Week in America. And we're right back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.